You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
United Way of Greater Cleveland mobilizes our community to advance education, income, and health. Join us and live united at unitedwaycleveland.org. My favorite time of Tuesday right now. It's time to play a little After Further Review. So we'll bring on our great producer, Dave DiNatale. Dino, let's play a little After Further Review.
Let's do it. All right, guys, as we kick off the first question of
After Further Review,
ESPN's Herman Edwards ranked the best cornerbacks in the NFL today. And on his list, he has Joe Haden, fourth best in the NFL, behind Richard Sherman, Patrick Peterson, and Aqib Talib. Is that, gentlemen,
fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fact. I think those other three corners are exceptional. No one's playing as well as Williams. He's the man. He can do it all. He's a dominant player. You could maybe take some umbrage with Talib third over Joe Haden at fourth, but Talib's been pretty consistent. I think about his value to the Patriots, who are hurting in many ways. If you took Talib off of that defense, along with the other injuries they've suffered, where is their defense? Probably nowhere. Talib has been like such a big part of it. And Joe is a huge part of what the Browns are doing, for sure. But I guess in terms of matching him up with those other corners, and I don't think there's any big gap, but I'm not overly troubled that he's fourth and maybe not second or third or certainly first in that group. That's a good group.
It's a very good group. Patrick Peterson is great. Richard Sherman is great. Talib is playing phenomenal football this year. Only allowed one touchdown, four interceptions, five passes defensed. Haden, though, nine passes defensed on the season. And listen to who Joe Hayden's had to go up against this year. Mike Wallace, Torrey Smith twice, A.J. Green, Steve Johnson, Calvin Johnson, Jordy Nelson, Dwayne Bowe. There really hasn't been an off week for Joe Haden this year. He's faced the best in the NFL. They're averaging 3.7 catches, 40.5 yards per game, only one touchdown allowed all season. That was to Jordy Nelson. I'll take him over Talib long-term. Talib is having a great season, only 39% completion rate against. He's got the lowest quarterback rating against this year at 28.9. So he's right there. I mean, Joe Haden, to me, is one of the elite corners in the NFL.
It's not an insult, though.
Not at all. And Ultron Werner is having a kind of season now in Tennessee that would be in the discussion. But Joe Haden is one of the elite. I'll put him second. I would put him second behind Richard Sherman. Peterson's gotten burned a couple times. Calvin Johnson lit him up.
Joe's had, we've seen the defense as a whole give up some, third down plays.
Not Joe.
I'm saying the Browns as
right.
a whole.
Joe. Yeah, we're talking about Joe.
Has Joe been flawless this year?
Pretty much.
He's been good, but has he been flawless? He's been good.
He's been pretty good.
He's been flawless.
I'm going to call him second. I'm going to put him second.
All right. So you're saying that was
second,
kind of a little
gonna,
fiction
I'm gonna
there.
I'm going to agree with Herm for the time being.
After further review.
That's right. With all due respect. All right. Let's get it out of the way right now. The Browns should take a good look at recently released safety Ed Reed.
Fact or fiction?
That's fiction. T.J. Ward is playing very well. Tayshawn Gibson is playing well. Ed Reed is, at this point in his career, not the same player as he was. So, in my opinion, this is not the right place for Ed Reed.
I agree. That's fiction in my book, too. I think if you wanted to try to make the case, as some people have, that, okay, he brings that Raven factor, the understanding of that team, whatever leadership he had provided them, would that be a good thing for the Browns? Browns don't need that guy. First of all, Ed Reed if Ed Reed is a guy who could help a defense, Wade Phillips would figure out a way for him to help the Houston Texans, who need all the help they can get. And if he's not helpful there with Wade Phillips, this is a total buyer beware. Stay away from him.
All right. Boy, made that one easy, guys.
Agreed.
After further review.
I had a feeling it would be pretty easy. All right. You guys just had him up in the dog bowl about a half hour or so ago. Billy Winn will ultimately be the best Browns player to come from the 2012 draft. Is that
fact or fiction?
Wow. That's a good one. That's a great one. As you sit down and look at where this 2012 draft is or isn't, it's fair to say that Billy Winn is that guy. I'm going to say fact because I don't see the future. We know what's happened with Trent Richardson. don't see the future with Brandon Whedon here, and you know that's this just in. That's a real bulletin. Mitchell Schwartz. I don't know. You know, he would be my wild card in this discussion because he did start throughout his entire rookie year, and that means something. But in the mindset of this of the people running this football team, I think they think they can do better there. The question becomes, you know, has he done enough as the line has shown steady improvement to kind of redeem himself? So it's between the two of them. Billy Winn missing five games hurts that a little bit. He'd have to be pretty special as he looked. I think he looked good against the Ravens in this last game, but he's going to have to be pretty special down this stretch and really be a difference maker in so many different ways, I think, to solidify that. But I'm leaning toward ultimately, whatever that means, beyond this year and into next year, is that he could very easily be the best player from this 2012 draft.
I'm going to call it fiction right now. I'm going to say Mitchell Schwartz has been the best player from the 2012 draft, started all of last year, played well, got off to a slow start this year, but I would say is playing very well over the last few weeks as this offensive line has really started to come together, and he's, you know, got Sean LeVau next to him, doesn't need to help out as much with Garrett Gilkey. So I'm going to say Mitchell Schwartz now, but when you talk about raw physical athleticism, upside potential, and Billy Wynn's got those things, and I think Billy Winn long-term could become the best player and the ultimate steal of this 2012 draft class for the Browns. But right now it's Mitchell Schwartz, Winn, and Travis Benjamin kind of second, third for me. But I think Winn, ultimate trajectory, ultimate ceiling, has the highest ceiling of anybody left on the team.
After further review.
All right, guys. The Browns should have pursued free agent wideout and kick returner Brad Smith, who just signed with the Eagles. Is that
fact or fiction?
Fiction. I don't see how he's going to be much help to I don't see him being help to this team. I know the Travis Benjamin injury would have opened the door to that possibility. I know he's utilized or had been utilized as kind of a wildcat option, especially when he was in Buffalo. The time he spent with the Jets, but I think this is a guy who's just sort of a journeyman bouncing around guy.
Armonte Edwards is a cheaper, younger, more explosive, and also someone more familiar with Rob Chudzinski option of a Brad Smith, so I'm happy that they've got Armonte Edwards. I say fiction.
After further review.
All right. If there were Zagura Carucci NFL power rankings, there aren't, but I'm saying if there were, if you guys had the NFL power rankings, the Kansas City Chiefs would be your number one team. Is that
fact or fiction?
That is definitely fiction for me. Fiction. That is not, that is fiction. Right now, I would take the following teams over the Kansas City Chiefs: the Denver Broncos,
yes, agreed.
The Seattle Seahawks,
agreed.
The New Orleans Saints,
agreed.
The New England Patriots, the
agreed.
San Francisco 49ers, agreed. And the Carolina Panthers. I might even take the Detroit Lions.
So that's five dings. So you take five teams over the Chiefs.
Yeah, I want to see. I'm a little less confident in your last two, in Carolina and Detroit over KC right now.
Carolina hits them in the face and runs all over
Carolina,
them.
Carolina's got a lot going on defensively for sure. I think it's easy to sell the Chiefs short as a team that says, you know what? You know what? We did everything we could. Because I heard the same discussion in Buffalo that I heard in Cleveland 4 weeks ago. I was back in Buffalo during the bye, and I heard this, you know, we outplayed them. And we did this to the fans, talking about how they play. I said, yeah. And who won the game again? Because I heard the same conversation among Browns fans and among ourselves. We were saying the same thing. Should have won that game. No reason to lose that game. But you lost that game. Why did you lose that game? Because this is what the Chiefs do. They let you beat yourself. They're that good in the sense of not making mistakes and avoiding the turnovers. They've got a formula that works for them. They've got nothing dominant. And they're hated by people who want to see dominance, who want to see big numbers, who want to see flashy quarterbacks making big plays. And you don't get that from Alex Smith, and you don't have those kinds of players. And by the way, I don't know what's going on with Dwayne Bowe, but I think there's
I was just going to bring up. They're going to fall behind, though, and I don't think they can catch up with Alex Smith and with Dwayne Bowe now, maybe out. Yeah. But let me say this. Yeah. Think about who they played in the first nine games in terms of the quarterbacks. I'll tell you what, I'd be happy to come back here and re-rank them if they go ahead and run the table, knowing that in their next seven games, two are against Peyton Manning, two are against Phillip Rivers, one is against Andrew Luck.
Let's see what
happens when they don't play a team's second or third string quarterback 3 weeks in a row.
I just think they bleed you, and they know how to. I've seen this formula before. And it actually works. And then the counter is, yeah, well, they'll only last one round of the playoffs. I said, wouldn't if you're saying this as a fan of a team like the Browns or the Bills, just this comparison of a team with four wins, Cleveland, three wins, Buffalo, wouldn't you like to just get there? Wouldn't you like to say, yeah, but I'll trade what they have just to be in the postseason, just to make it.
Of course.
That's a big, you know, so to be upset, that's a good problem to have. Well, you're not gonna last long in the postseason. How about just get to the postseason?
Agreed. But let's just remember, here are the quarterbacks that they faced over the first 9 weeks of the NFL season. Blaine Gabbert, Tony Romo, legit, Mike Vick, Eli Manning, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Terrell Pryor, Case Keenum, Jason Campbell, and Jeff Toole. After their bye, they are going to face Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning, RG3, Terrell Pryor, Andrew Luck, Phillip Rivers. A little bit of a difference in those two lists.
Could be, yeah. And of course, Luck showed well his last outing in St. Louis. What's up with Luck?
That was weird.
Seriously, that was, I mean, the Colts, what has happened to the Colts?
They have gotten beaten down three of the last four halves of football they played. Let's not forget that game against Houston. They were getting annihilated.
I know he doesn't have Reggie Wayne, but that seems to be too convenient an explanation of.
I don't even think that's great. Their defense is not getting it done. Their defense had been a great pass defense early.
Yeah.
It's not getting the job done. Their special teams has been horrific the last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
It's complimentary football, as Gerard Sherry likes to say.
Uncomplimentary.
Yeah, right now it is not. Right now it's insult football.
All right, one more, guys.
After further review.
All right, for this stretch run of seven more games, the two of you would take Jason Campbell over any other quarterback in the AFC North.
Fact or fiction?
Over any other quarterback in the
AFC North. Over Big Ben, over Flacco, over
Dalton. After two Brown starts by Jason Campbell, we're going to take him over the Super Bowl MVP. We're going to take
him over. Yes, I would take him over Joe Flacco.
I knew you would, Nathan.
Always and forever, just because you've got to stay consistent with your anti-Flacco.
I just don't think Joe Flacco's that good. I'll take Ben Roethlisberger on my team. I will. I like Ben Roethlisberger. I'll take Ben Roethlisberger.
Even though he's bitter and hurting.
No, I would take Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm sorry, Dino. Yes. Even though no, he's saying yes, he would, and I would too. So let's can we refer? We're going to change the question. Let's rank the quarterbacks in the division.
Fair enough.
Go ahead.
Rank the QBs.
So
Ben Roethlisberger number one.
Yep. Who's number two?
I don't want to rank the quarterbacks of the AFC North at all. But I would probably, if I was, had to be held
Andy
to
Dalton
it.
You're Dalton second. You're not.
Putting, no way.
You're putting Jason Campbell ahead of Andy Dalton.
I'm just gonna say there's Ben Roethlisberger and then there's the other three.
You gotta see this, folks. See, we don't have the cameras in here yet.
There's Ben Roethlisberger, and then there's the other three. Good Andy Dalton would be number two. And then I'll take Campbell and Flacco last.
You can't lose any discussion because you can qualify. Well, there's a good Andy Dalton.
I just think in the AFC North right now, the one quarterback, I think Ben Roethlisberger is a great quarterback. There was a very good Joe Flacco for the Super Bowl run last year. The best run quarterback's ever had, he still stinks.
Would you take Jason over
still
that
stinks.
Guy?
Oh,
Joe Flacco? I'd rather take Jason Campbell right now for my organization at his salary over Joe Flacco and his salary.
The way Flacco's playing now. But I'm saying your good Joe Flacco reference.
Well, good Joe Flacco had the best run ever. It's good Andy Dalton. Right now, if you're ranking the good everybody is Roethlisberger, Dalton, Flacco, Campbell.
The issue with the real issue here, I think, is
I don't want to be disrespecting Jason Campbell. I like what Jason Campbell's doing right now.
There's no disrespect
to
Jason Campbell.
Not besmirching the man.
But it's hard. You're not. I'm not saying you're.
Ben Roethlisberger to me is the class of these quarterbacks.
It's hard to have a serious discussion about ranking. It's getting carried away to look on two starts that he's made. Two starts.
Right.
And you know why they look really good? A, he has done special things. He's done some
against
really good
defenses.
Things. But the bigger issue is he against what's been here. This is the reason he's even looking better because it's against the Brandon Whedon comparison. So that puts him in the Hall of Fame. He's already in. I think he's in Canton right now. We have to pick him up in Canton to bring him
it's
to practice.
It's like when a fairly attractive man or woman surrounds himself with significantly less attractive men or women,
and that's a,
he then becomes or she becomes the number one object.
And I haven't been in these places, these things they call clubs and stuff, in a long time, but I hear that that's a strategy, right?
Of course that would be a strategy. Carly, am I wrong?
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Not wrong. It's just the way that it is.
That's how they do that stuff.
Right. Okay. It's like that, and that's the way it is.
But my question again, guys, was who would you take for the final seven games, knowing what you know about what's happening in each of their situations?
I'm taking Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger, to me, is
the best quarterback in the AFC.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. We're done.
Okay.
That was a spirited one. That was good.
Well, good. That means you picked great topics, Dino.
That's right, Dino.
You're awesome.
Tip of the cap to you, my friend.
Tip of the cap. All right. Well, Gerard Cherry is going to join us in a little bit.
Yes, he's in the bullpen, ready to join us.
We'll bring him aboard and see some of his thoughts on some of this stuff. Vic and Nathan, it is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.
Up under the seat of my big black jacked up truck, rolling on through.